time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and we'll share your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm the fantastic half-gargoyle, half-human, known as Chris. But I just don't have, like, the because I'm a half and half, I don't have the wings or the tail.
Or the strength. Claws.
Yeah, the strength. And I don't turn to stone because I have allergies. But everything else I've got.
No, yeah. No, I believe it.
Yeah.
You have the tail. It's just minuscule. It's a very tiny tail.
Yep. It gets mistaken for a zit a lot.
So, and this morning, we watched Gargoyles. Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Chris, the half gargoyle.
Yes, it's true. I've been on TV. I once walked past somebody filming Ripley's Believe It or Not. So,
did you look directly in the camera as you walked by?
They moved the camera as I walked by. They just kept, like, you know, the same gait as me with the camera and just slowly kept moving it as I got.
Just would have been going out
across.
Of, yeah. Yeah. So, it kept you out of the pacing.
But got I it. Still count that as being in it. I'm trying to get an IMDb credit, but they keep saying no.
You were close.
So close.
So who suggested this one to us?
This was suggested to us by 10410 or 10410, I guess, on YouTube. So thank you, 10410. I don't know if you're a robot or a person, but thank you either way, I guess. How do you say, is there a certain way that robots like to be thanked other than a thank you?
100111.
Don't say that language on here. Kids might be listening.
So the show Gargoyles ran from 94 to 96, when I say created by, this is kind of, it was an amalgamation of a bunch of different people jumping in and with ideas, because it was kind of a rushed project to in getting made in order to not counter, but at least meet up with the popularity of Batman, the animated series. So Disney was trying to push something out and a lot of the people were jumping in, but the person who gets the most credit for it generally is Greg Weisman. And he was a Disney executive at the time. And he had a large part in not only the creation of it, but also the production side, where he would always get the final say on the scripts before they went out, at least in the first two seasons. It was produced. Yeah, it was produced by Walt Disney Television, of course, ran for three seasons. We'll talk about this more, but I'm going to say just three seasons for now and 78 episodes total. Ran syndicated at first from 94 to 96, and then from 96 to 97, it ran on ABC. For a source synopsis, a clan of heroic night creatures pledged to protect modern New York City as they did in Scotland long ago. And when I say 94 to 96, I mean 94 to 97, but the 96-97 is a gray area, and that's where it turns into Goliath Chronicles, which we did include as part of the whole. But if you look it up on IMDb, you have to look them up separately,
right? Or
because they are listed individually. But if you look it up on Wikipedia, it's the same thing. And I think TV.com is it the same?
Yeah, or is it the same thing on TV.com?
Okay. Yeah. So there's confusion there, almost like, and I think you had brought it up, like Batman and the Animated Series, where they have Batman the Animated Series portion of it, and then it turns into Batman and Robin, or The Adventures of Batman and Robin. And there's other shows that are like this where that happens, but that's the one that just comes to mind firsthand.
Correctamundo.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that clarification. So who were some of the actors who played in this show?
All right. So the voice of Detective Eliza Mazza was Sally Richardson Whitfield, who has been in the movie I Am Legend and the television show Eureka, which I've never seen. I just like to yell Eureka like I did something. Eureka! Okay, I don't think that's how they say it, but yeah. The character of Goliath was voiced by Keith David, who is a famous actor. He's been in John Carpenter's The Thing, They Live, Roadhouse, Coraline, Spawn, ER, Community. He's been in all the things, and he's got a voice made of gold, like satin gold. You know, it's just so smooth against your skin.
Which is why he's in all the things.
It was, yeah, that's why he's also in this show called The Cape, which was short-lived and for very good reason. It was not good. It was not good at all. But that from The Cape becomes one of my favorite quotes of all time, where the husband and the wife are like in the kitchen and like she's making breakfast and they start getting all kind of like huggy and kissy on each other. And she's like, how do you want your eggs? And he was like, fertilized. Oh, and man. I was like, oh, sick. The most unsexy line ever muttered that got sex for the guy. So
gross.
Figure that out. The voice of Brooklyn was Jeff Bennett, and he's been in lots of cartoons from the 80s through the 90s and some now. He's been especially in lots of the Kids WB cartoons like Earthworm Jim, Pinky and the Brain, Freakazoid, and he's been in several cartoons that we've done on this show as well. So cool, Jeff Bennett. Good for you. Bronx was voiced by Frank Welker, who's been Scooby-Doo, Transformers, and everything else. Especially anything that's ever had a creature in it. Frank Welker was in it. I promise. I promise you. Voice of Hudson was Ed Asner, who is a famous actor, if you don't know. Hopefully you know. He really got his big start in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where he played Luke Grant. And he was also the same character in Rhoda and a spinoff of his own called Luke Grant. He's also been in things like Batman, the animated series as Roland Daggett. He was Hoggish Greedley in Captain Planet. He was Cosgrove in Freakazoid, one of my favorite characters ever. He's also J. Jonah Jameson in the 1994 Spider-Man. He's in the movie Big Fish. He's in one of those Bourne movies. I don't know. He voices Carl in Up. So lots of all the things, just like Keith David. They should be friends if they're not friends. Character of Broadway was voiced by Bill Fagerbakel, who has a hilarious name. Voices Patrick from SpongeBob SquarePants. So there you go. There's the thing there.
Nice. Yeah.
The voice of Lexington was Tom Adcox Hernandez, which took me a while to figure out how to say, who voiced Felix the Cat in the 90s, and he's also in Young Justice. The character of Demona was Marina Sirtis, who also played Counselor Deanna Troi in several of the Star Treks, the movies, and a TV show. And she also voices Queen Bee in Young Justice. And then finally, David Xanatos was Jonathan Franks, also known as Commander Riker in the Star Treks. And he voices Jason in Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. Really big cast and a lot of like heavy hitters, like, you know, stuff that, you know, people I wouldn't really expect for this kind of cartoon. So that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Disney, so they were just like, here's Disney money. So they threw it at them and they came.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But it's not like
you guys want money? Yeah.
It's not like they phoned it in even. Like the voice acting was great in this show. It was all so
well
done.
It really was. Well, Keith David doesn't even have to try. Like he could be just reading, like, you know, he's got that like Morgan Freeman kind of voice where he could just be reading like nutrition facts off of like the back of a thing of bread, and you're going to be like super into it.
Oh yeah. Like I met him at, I believe it was last year's Texas Fright, or this past year's Texas Frightmare Weekend.
You met Keith David?
Yeah. And well, okay. I say met, I encountered him in the restroom as I was passing by and he said, excuse me. And so
did you see his junk? Is it huge?
No, probably.
It's not huge.
I didn't see it, but he passed by me as I was going in the restroom and he said, excuse me. And I was just like, oh my God, that voice, even saying, excuse me. It's just so wonderful to hear.
Like, did you picture the little cat from Coraline, like brushing against your leg as he walked out?
I also watched him in a panel that he did for The Thing. So that was awesome.
That's cool.
For a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of gargoyle cereal. In 1997, there began an annual fan convention known as the Gathering of the Gargoyles. Fans shared costumes, fan fiction, and even had discussions to further develop the overall anatomy of the gargoyle characters. The convention was officially discontinued in 2009. So from 97 to 2009, there was a gargoyles convention.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Is there a way to resurrect that? Like, I think we could.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is like, it actually did have a lot of the stars of Gargoyles who came there to as you know, to have their panels or whatever, or guest visits. I know that Greg Weiss, the guy who at least co-created it, was part of it. Keith David even dropped by at one point. So,
oh man, that's awesome. Yeah,
they had some big people there.
I like how like some of it was about the gargoyle's anatomy. Like, was one of the panels like Gargoyles Rule 34 or something? Like, we're just going to look at naked gargoyles all day and discuss their anatomy.
See, I'm wondering if that's like a weird understanding of how this person typed this. Like, if that was their intention, I don't know. I didn't go to one, so I can't say.
We're going to have to just start it up again so we can experience this for ourselves.
Yeah, and have an anatomy panel and everything. Yeah,
if any of you listeners want to attend a panel about the anatomy of gargoyles, like, share, and subscribe, please.
No one's going to like, share, or subscribe. We're going to lose
subscribers. Or at least let us know so we can get this thing rolling.
Yeah. Also, the show was originally pitched as a comedy series where the gargoyles were like mischievous pranksters.
Oh my goodness.
Went through several versions before it was scrapped in favor of the now darker, more serious tone of the show. It was almost going to be like Bonkers, and then it turned into this.
Oh, good, because I cannot stomach Bonkers. Like, I'm just going to tell you now, I can't.
That's awesome.
So if anyone ever suggests Bonkers, you're dead to me.
Now people are going to, you know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to add it to the list.
You jerk.
The controversial Goliath Chronicles season, which is season 3, aired on Disney's One Saturday Morning format on ABC, which is what I was speaking of from 96 to 97, except for the pilot, The Journey, which is an abridged version of the first comic book. It was produced without the involvement of the series creator Greg Weisman and is largely not considered canonical by fans or Weisman, who has only seen each episode once and refuses to view them again. So the creator doesn't like this third series and refuses to watch them again.
That doesn't say a whole lot, though. I mean, freaking Alan Moore hates everything he's ever done. So
also, and this is the last thing here. Well, this isn't going to be the last thing. I meant to say this one before I said the other one, but that's okay. I'll just add it in.
You lied to me.
So a bi-monthly comic series from Slave Labor Comics continued the story from directly after the 3-part finale episode Hunter's Moon, ignoring Gargoyles, the Goliath Chronicles from 96. So comic book series it picked up in, I think it was 2013 or something, from Slave Labor Comics. Like, it picked up after the end of the second season, ignoring the third season.
So it did what, like, the new Terminator movies are going to do, that James Cameron's going to do, where it's like it ignores the third movie and everything after it and just picks up after Judgment Day.
Yeah, or for any fans of Dragon Ball, it's basically like GT ignoring that altogether. Yep.
Man, GT, good God.
So, according to Greg Weisman, the character of Lexington would have eventually realized that he is, in fact, homosexual. And Weisman admits that that this is unlikely to have ever been overly acknowledged, as the idea of sexuality within a Disney animated property may have been considered inappropriate. But the official comic book continuation published by Slave Labor Graphics that I was talking about earlier, he has enjoyed more leeway on this matter. So basically just saying Lexington is gay.
Well, I'm not surprised. There's only one female gargoyle and she's a bad guy. So, I mean, like, who else is he going to be able to, like, you know, knock boots with, or, you know, they don't wear boots, knock claws with? I don't know. Broadway seems like his type. I could see.
I don't know.
I bet you there's a Rule 34.
You know, there is. Oh yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want to see it. So, Chris, do you have any memories of gargoyles that don't involve Rule 34?
No.
No, I don't.
All of them involve Rule 34. No, like, I saw some episodes here and there when I was a kid, but I never, like, actually sat down and paid a lot of attention to it. I just remember seeing some of it, thinking it was kind of cool, but, like, didn't really give it the time of the day because it was the Disney thing, and I just kind of was not a Disney fan back in the day.
So you just kind of shunned this one, too?
Yeah, I just kind of ignored it.
You missed out because...
Well, man, they were putting stuff out like Goofy Movie and like Bonkers and all that garbage.
Hey, man, the Goofy Movie was awesome. Bonkers, I can't speak for. I didn't care for that one as much, but the rest of them were pretty good.
No.
Gargoyles, especially. Gargoyles was awesome. And I've been a fan of the show since I first watched it, but I did not know about the third season. But the first two seasons are great. Like, they involve a lot of Shakespearean writings or just Celtic lore from Scotland, stuff like that. So it's really interesting, the all that they put around the story in this, and I really enjoyed it. And I remember a lot of it coming back into it to watch it for the show today. I remembered a lot of these characters and even some of them that we didn't get to see. And it's unfortunate, really, before we lead into the episode, just because we only get to see Xanatos a very brief kind of preview, I think, of like the, because, okay, so let's jump into the episode. We can just start talking about it. So episodes you watched for today's show, their first episode, High Trade episode, and finally Random Wrestler Chosen episode. Order me ready to paint analysis episode for chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being Awakening Part 1. And this is a 5-part episode.
Part 1.
So we did not watch all 5 parts. We watched Part 1.
As much as we'd love to.
If we had all the time in the world, yeah. But five parts is absurd for like an opening. But I think eventually they did turn it into like a movie, to where they released it like on a single VHS or something as a Gargoyles Awakening movie or something like that.
But, oh, like they did with Mutant League.
Yeah, exactly. Except to much more success. So in this one, Elisa Maza arrives on scene. There's a huge battle on a skyscraper with an old... Man, this is a dumb description. I'm not going to read this.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kind of walking through it.
I mean, I guess a lot happens in this first episode, but not a lot happens in the present where the Gargoyles are in New York. All you see is like there's some big battle taking place on top of like a skyscraper. And you see Maza show up with her super Brooklyn accent. She's just like, wonder what's going on up there. And then it goes to a big old flashback for the rest of the episode.
And in this flashback, it goes back to Scotland in 994 AD. Random battle for a random castle that we don't get a lot of details on. But it's basically like the Gargoyles are protecting this castle. But if anyone who knows the Gargoyles lore, they turn to stone during the day and come alive to battle at night. And so they are protecting this castle at night, but they can't be doing that during the day. So this army attacks him during the day. But it's like as the sun is setting, because they don't believe necessarily in the legends of these Gargoyles. And then when they do come to life, of course, they're taking him on. You've got Goliath, who's the only one who has a name.
That's weird to me.
When they're asking him like what they call each other, I think Brooklyn is just like friends. You know, we just call each other friend. Yeah. Like they don't need,
which has to be really confusing, because if you want one person, you're like, hey, friend, get over here. And then they all come over and you're like, no, I just wanted friend. And they're all like, yeah.
Well, maybe it's like thing one, thing two, where it's like friend one, friend two,
friend two, three. Fat friend, old friend.
Yeah.
little gay friend.
Exactly. Demona is his second in command, Goliath's second in command.
And his sweet, sweet lady.
Oh, yeah.
But not super sweet. She's kind of.
Well, she
kind of rude.
She's kind of sweet at the beginning, or she's at least got her heart in the right place a little bit. What was interesting about this is during the first battle, when Goliath is trying to stop the commander who's climbing up the castle walls up to where he is, he uses a sword on him and Goliath grabs it with his hand and he sees blood come out. And I'm like, man, that's kind of intense for a Disney cartoon to be showing blood like that.
No, yeah. Like, I thought the same thing. I was very surprised that they showed blood.
It's not excessive.
Especially that quick into a first episode.
Yeah, it's not excessive at all, but it's just like, to show blood at all seems kind of crazy for a Disney cartoon.
It was a pretty sweet battle, like gargoyles fighting Vikings. I mean, that just sounds fun, and it was fun.
Yeah, they win this battle, and they're like, take your men and run, because... Goliath,
what's left of your men,
what's left of
which
your
indicates
men.
That they murdered a few of those guys.
They probably got knocked off the roof or knocked off the castle or something. They shouldn't have been climbing it. That was their
and
fault.
Died.
Yeah.
And died hard.
Oh, they definitely died.
Hans Grubered it.
A surprising amount of people die in this show too, which is
good.
Unheard of for a cartoon like this. But hey, they got away with a lot.
Disney's like, we got to start killing folk if we want those. If we want to meet those numbers.
Yep. Got to get those Batman ratings.
Speaking of, this show does remind me a lot of Batman the Animated Series, because the animation style is so similar that it's just like uncanny. Like I don't know if they use the same style, but it feels like that Dark Deco style that Batman the Animated Series used. And some of the characters, I mean, the way they're drawn, like, I don't know, it reminds me a lot of the same sort of style that like they were using, like the Bruce Timm universe and stuff was using. So
yeah,
don't know.
I know it's not the exact same style, but I'm sure it's inspired by it because Bruce Timm himself does not like gargoyles. He's not a fan.
Racist.
He just says that it's too like ho-hum or something and trying to complicate too it too much with Celtic lore and all of that. So he's not a fan.
Well, that's too bad because I feel like this is the... If you liked Batman the Animated Series and you're like, oh, I wish there was another cartoon that was similar, but like there is no other like Batman cartoon, this is the next closest thing you're going to get to that kind of style and those kind of stories.
Yeah, I could agree to that.
It's got that whole feel too, that whole dark kind of feel. It's nice. I like it.
So they go to an after party with where in the princess's throne room, the gargoyles are invited, but there's a lot of not racism, but well, because they're not a race.
The queen's just like, get out of here. You guys are gross.
It's just like a speciesism, I guess, or something. Like they're just very anti gargoyles, and so they're like,
same thing.
Yeah, like don't let them in here, like or whatever. Even if they've helped us, whatever, like they belong outside.
She refers to them as filthy beasts.
Yeah,
they just saved your friggin' castle, and you're gonna like insult them, and it happens like right in front of Goliath and Demona too.
It's just one of those things where humans fear what they don't understand, and they explain that a little bit, but it's just like, especially back in those days when basically anything that was different was sorcery or witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't trust electricity.
Still to this day.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate lights. Basically, what happens here is the Vikings went back. Somebody from the castle was just like, went to them, was like, yo, do you want to try to sack this castle again and actually do it for once? And they're like, yeah, bro. So then, like, someone's conspiring. We don't know who it is just yet. And then some of the gargoyles get in trouble because some of the humans start, like, starting crap with them. And they don't, like, fight them, but they, like, goofing around and try to scare the humans. And then Goliath gets mad and puts them all on timeout inside this cave. And then Goliath and Hudson are like, we're going to go put a stop to those dang Vikings. But, like, everyone's really bad at managing their time. So, like, by the time they get to the Vikings, the sun's coming up. So they're like, whoops, and they get turned to stone. But then the Vikings go to that castle and, like, destroy all the gargoyles that are still there and, like, just, you know, loot and plunder that castle. You get to see the queen let out in chains, which I was like, yeah, she kind of deserved that.
This is only the first part of the five-part opening, but you get enough to where you kind of see what's going on. So, like you said, a lot of the gargoyles get destroyed. The main ones that we get to see later are still in that cave, so that's how they got saved. We don't know how Demona gets saved at first. That's explained later, but we didn't get to see that in the first episode. But Goliath thinks that she was destroyed too, so he's basically like, I've lost everything and I have a thirst for revenge now. And what ends up happening, it's not shown in this episode, but what ends up happening in the opening part is basically the Magus, who is at the queen's side, he turns...
Is that blonde-haired dude?
Yeah, he turns him to stone permanently until the castle rises above the clouds. Like, that's the stipulation, which is a weird stipulation to have, but basically he's just thinking, that's never going to happen. Goliath isn't part of that initial spell casting, but he's like, I don't have any reason to live anymore in this world. Like, I've lost everything and everyone, so just turn me, basically kill me too, like turn me to stone permanently. David Xanatos, who comes in 1,000 years later, is this billionaire who is able to purchase this castle with the gargoyles on it. Following the book that the Magus had left behind, he literally grabbed the castle and put it on top of his own like business tower. Since that breaks the stipulation of the spell and it's above the clouds now, the gargoyles are able to live again. So that's the initial, like, how it comes to be that they're in modern times, or modern times in the 90s at least.
You know, I feel like that's a flaw with, you know, like that Magus or like anyone else that like puts a curse on somebody. Why put in the loophole? Like, why not just say, well, you're stoned forever, you know?
Yeah.
They always put that little loophole in there that's like, well, of course that's going to happen.
Yeah, that was a weird loophole to even have. It's like, why? It's kind of like poetic, but it's like, why that one? You know, I didn't understand exactly that part so much. Maybe there's more explained as he's casting this spell, but I really feel like there's not. It's just kind of like,
yeah, probably
accept
not
it for what it is.
I do got to say, in that first part, though, I was extremely surprised by who betrayed them. Like, I did not see that coming. I pegged somebody else completely.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no.
It's interesting.
Same here. I, even having seen it before, I was like, oh, I totally forgot it was that dude. Like,
yeah, so I had never seen, like, their backstory whatsoever. So I was very interested and intrigued.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
That kind of explains the opening. I mean, we just watched the first part, like I said, but I gave you essentially to the end of it, to the end of the opening. Everything. And that will take us into the second episode we watched for today's show, which is The Mirror, Season 2, Episode 5. And this one was the one that was suggested by 10410.
Thanks, 10410.
And
001-10001.
Yeah. 100111. Mm-hmm. So in this one, Demona gets a hold of Titania's mirror and she uses it to summon Puck, one of Oberon's children, who is also a trickster and grants her wishes, but not in the way she expects.
Aha.
And what's cool about this is Puck is actually played by Brent Spiner, who is Data in Star Trek Next Generation.
They like their Star Trek people, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
He's also that crazy scientist from Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. He's done a lot of stuff.
The bunker with the long, gross hair.
We get the regular opening where it's like 1,000 years ago was the age of gargoyles, et cetera, et cetera. The music, the opening music is awesome, by the way. Like, I love the opening theme for this.
It is pretty cool until it gets to season 3.
Exactly. I was going to add that on, but you beat me to it.
Puck reminded me a lot of Malekith from the Thor comics and stuff like that. I don't know if you got that same
feeling. I don't know who Malekith is, so I did not get that same feeling.
He's the elf guy that has the half-burned face.
Maybe I've seen him before, but I don't read Thor comics, so I don't know.
But anyway, up until we saw the last episode, which was that beginning thing, I didn't know this had any kind of Celtic lore or anything like that. So I'm like, oh, cool, they used to be in Scotland, and then here I'm seeing actual lore stuff, because they're, you know, talking about the fair folk based in actual Celtic lore that I'm like semi-familiar with, not like super rich in, but I've read a couple books that deal with myths and stuff from Scotland. So I thought that was really cool because I knew a little bit about it and I was like, okay, yeah, like I see where this is going and I understand like where this character comes from and stuff, like knowing some of it. So I was pretty impressed with that, and I was just like, dang, like, they're just, like, both episodes are really kind of hooking me now. It sounds like they referenced Shakespeare quite a few times in this series, just from little things I picked up, so I think that's cool.
Yeah, and they've got Macbeth in the series, too. He doesn't show up in any of these episodes, but he's a big character a little bit later in season... Well, he might even have shown up in season 1, I'm not sure, but... He's a big character in this, and there's a lot of references to literature, so it's nice.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So in this one, Demona breaks into a museum to steal this mirror. Goliath has predicted this and is there with Elisa. They're chasing her down, but Demona was ready for that, so she has henchmen. They just casually steal the mirror while everyone else is chasing Demona, and they just kind of walk out. I don't think they know necessarily who they're working for. It's just kind of a voice behind a door because they leave it at the door, take the money and run.
It comes out of like a little gargoyle mailbox.
Yeah. And she uses this spell to summon Puck who, and what's cool is like she puts these chains around the mirror and you don't know why she's doing it at first. And then as Puck comes out, it chains him up. So he gets trapped in these chains as he emerges from the mirror. So that was her plan the whole time.
And I love that she kind of keeps him on a chain like through most of the episode. So it's like he's a dog on a leash and it just looks funny.
Yeah, because she kind of has to because he is a mischievous little fair folk dude.
And because of that, so she's trying to have him do some spells. She wanted to kill all the humans, didn't work. And then she said, well, get rid of this one human and showed him Elisa. And he was like, okay, I'm getting rid of that human. And she thought that meant that he was going to kill her. Instead, he turned her into a gargoyle. And she was not as cute a gargoyle as I expected. I was a little disappointed there.
But Goliath was really digging her. He's like, I never noticed how beautiful you are.
No time in like trying to take that thing home.
Yeah.
Immediately.
It's funny seeing him like out of his comfort zone. And then he's like, oh, look over there.
They got back to the subject of getting rid of all the humans again.
Mm-hmm.
So then he agrees, and then he turns all humans to gargoyles.
Yeah,
and that's hilarious.
What's interesting is, like, the people who are turned don't know they've been turned. Like, they think they've always been gargoyles. So they're just kind of walking the streets. Like, you're seeing gargoyles in, like, business suits and stuff like that. Just
Hawaiian shirts. All walks mustaches. Of life. Mustaches. Oh, yeah. That gargoyle that got off the subway with a mustache was cracking me up,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
So he's like one of those genies who gives you what you wish for, but in a twisted way. He's just basically doing it to entertain himself. Like, he's doing what she asked for, but he's putting his own twist on it.
Then finally, she says, no, change the gargoyles to humans. I guess she's trying to change them back. But then he goes, oh, okay. And then instead he changes our original team of gargoyles to humans instead of the ones that were previously humans. Does this make any sense? Anyway, he turns them all human. And that was weird. Like, Goliath, I don't know what race Goliath was supposed to be, but it looked like a white dude wearing brown makeup all over his body. It was weird.
He was just like a very tanned dude, like a tan. Yeah,
and not like
model.
A naturally looking tan thing. It was super strange.
What race did you think Elisa was?
I took it as that she might be Hispanic.
That was originally what she was supposed to be, but then they turned it into her being half African American, half Native American. So,
oh, really?
Because I think the voice actress who played her also was that. So they were honoring that in a way and also putting some diversity in the kind of lead lady. So you kind of read her as Hispanic at first, but
yeah,
now that you have that Just knowledge, assume. It's kind of, you look at it a little bit differently at least.
Yeah, I like that. Because that's a super, like, one of the most obscure things I've ever heard as far as, like, a character being. So I was like, that's awesome. I like it.
Yeah, they're usually very straightforward with their races. It's either, like, whole this, whole that. Yeah,
you're white, black, Asian.
Exactly. So it's interesting to have a half and half.
Bronx gets turned into a dog, which I was like, oh, doggo.
Oh, yeah.
I love
it. He's like a big wolf dog. And Puck is like, as they're kind of fighting at the end, Puck is like, man, I should have turned him into Chihuahua or something.
Did they destroy the mirror? Is that how they stopped it? I think
they capture Puck in a trash can at first, and then they're able to chain up Demona, and then they promise Puck that they'll free him if he changes everything back to normal. And all he wants is his freedom anyway, so he's perfectly happy to do that. And he turns all the humans back to normal, then all the gargoyles back to their normal selves. And he's given his freedom, and then he gives Demona one last wish because he had a lot of fun. Like, because he was entertained, he's like, you know, I'll give you what you're wishing for, which was, her original wish was not to turn to stone during the day. And he gives her that, but the twist is that she's not a gargoyle during the day. Basically, she's kind of a were-gargoyle because she's human during the day, and at night, she turns back into a gargoyle. And it's definitely not what she wanted, but I'm sure she uses it to her advantage at some point moving forward.
She's a very attractive human, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, when she turns. Unlike when Elisa became a gargoyle, I was like, eh. But yeah, Demona as a human, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I was going to ask you, because it wasn't obvious to me if she was a human now full time, or if she was, like you said, like a were-gargoyle, where she was human in the day, gargoyle at night. I assumed it was the were-gargoyle thing, but after a minute I was like, wait, maybe she's human all the time? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't show that in that episode, but if I remember correctly, she's a gargoyle at night and human during the day instead of turning to stone.
And if Joseph was wrong about that, please like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah. Please let me know. Tell me.
Hey, real quick, before we get into the last episode, can we give a quick rundown of, I almost dropped a bottle of water. Can we do a quick rundown of who some of the characters are? Because we've mentioned a few characters, but we haven't really talked about, like, what they are, who they are.
Okay.
Because, like, so we've got Goliath, who's like he's a big guy. He's the leader.
He's a big purple gargoyle.
He's like the Optimus Prime sort of archetype, where he almost always does no wrong. He always does the right thing.
Yeah, always has good intentions.
Right. You got Hudson, who is the one played by Ed Asner. He's the seasoned veteran. He's like old, gruff. He's bigger. He's blind in one eye. He's got like a scar thing. Lexington was the smaller gargoyle and younger the one that is supposed to be gay.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't really do that till the comics.
He's also the Donatello of the group because he is the mechanical genius too.
Okay.
We don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the smart.
You don't get to see that during the episodes we watched, but it ends up happening. I know at some point he like fixes a helicopter or something, and it's like, how do you even know how to do that? But okay, we'll give you that. He does machines.
Bronx is weird. Bronx is like a gargoyle dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that.
No,
that's more of a dog, but
that's definitely what it is. But it's like, if there's gargoyle dogs, are there also like gargoyle cats, gargoyle other animals?
Which I would not want to see a gargoyle cat. Ugh. Cats are mean enough.
It'd be so fearsome. Yeah.
Let's see. Then we got Broadway, who is like the fat gargoyle who's always eating.
Loves his food.
That's who I would relate to the most. Like, there is one fight in the first episode where he stops fighting to get like a turkey leg and he's eating it and then bashes someone on the head with it and then keeps eating it.
Yeah, he knocks somebody out with the turkey leg. You have to have a lot of strength to do that.
Dude, and I love me some turkey legs, so I would do that. And Demona, you said before, was the second in command. She was the only female gargoyle that we've seen until next season. We'll get into that in a minute.
Demona also has an intense hatred for humans for what they did to the gargoyles originally, because they were serving these humans and they ended up betraying them. So she is very much in the mindset of, I want to eradicate all humans.
Yeah. And then Brooklyn is the other guy.
He's the red dude.
We didn't get a whole lot of his personality in these two, so I don't know how to describe him.
He's kind of like a little bit of the Raphael of the group, if you want to. And he's even red. So by that, I mean, he just wants to kind of fit in more with the humans. Like, he wants to be out. And at some point, I think he even gets a motorcycle.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got wings, but, you know, give him a motorcycle anyway.
Right. He's a bad boy. No, but he's like the jokester kind of guy, too. So he's kind of a mix between Raphael from the original cartoon and newer Raphael, where he's cool, but rude.
Oh, nice. Like, he throws pizza at the camera.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So then let's get into the next one.
Yeah. So the next one, if you want to count it, which I don't anymore now that I've seen it. This one is from season 3. It's Angels of the Night, season 3, episode 13. And like I said, this is from the Goliath Chronicles instead of just Gargoyles. And what happened with Goliath Chronicles, just as a quick intro to it, is basically they were intending on ending the series after the second season because of low ratings. And then they decided to bring it back, but they brought a new team for animation, a new team for writing, basically an entire new team of creators joined into this. And that wasn't for the better, because it changed a lot of the story. It's essentially a different world altogether in the way that the characters interact, how some of the enemies are now friends, and I don't know, there's new characters. It's so weird. And I appreciate what they were trying to do, but I think they went too far with it and it was just dumb. In this one, most of the clan ends up in a trap where, when a building explodes, they are fighting against the Quarrymen, who are essentially the KKK. They're the Quarrymen because Quarrymen, you know, break stones and stuff. And their intention is to, they have these giant hammers. Their intention is to catch the gargoyles off guard while they're sleeping or while they're turned to stone and break them. So they are anti-gargoyles, just like the princess was from the first episode. And this season is the gargoyles trying to fit in with humans and fight against this group, this hate group.
It kind of seems like at this point, most humans hate them. Like, whereas in the first two seasons, it kind of seemed like maybe, like, I wasn't for sure, but maybe there's not like super public knowledge that they exist. It seems in this season, it's very common knowledge that gargoyles exist and most people hate them.
Well, yeah. And also because that hate is being fueled by the Quarrymen as well. What's weird to me coming into this, and I don't know when it happened, but Xanatos is now their friend. Like, he's an ally.
Yeah, and I didn't understand that at all.
I don't know if that happened during the first two seasons at any point, but I know at least the first season he was their enemy.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they decided to change that.
Yeah, that was weird because, like, Xanatos, like, oh, well, I'll explain what happens in a little bit. But first of all, but we got a new girl, Goyle, named Angela, and she is adorable.
She's like the daughter of Goliath, and I'm pretty sure Demona. I don't know how she came into play.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering where she came from. I'm sure that's explained. Probably, I'm going to guess the first episode of season three is where she comes from.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was probably one of those things where it's like, you know, after you got turned to stone, I was pregnant and I had her, but then I hid her away for all these years and now here she is. It's probably some stupid
side of a rock.
It's some stupid elaborate explanation that makes no sense. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just total retcon. But I did like Angela. Like, yeah, she was kind of fun.
She was cool. And it was good to have some more diversity in the group, but
yeah.
I just had something against her because of my dislike of the Goliath Chronicles in general. So it was hard for me to like her because she was associated with that.
So like we said, a trap gets set. Most of the gargoyles get trapped in this trap, as traps do.
Yeah.
And the trap was set by the Quarrymen, who is led by this guy named Castaway. The plan was there was a bomb in this trap, and the bomb went off as the gargoyles were changed. The only ones that weren't in the trap were Angela and Bronx, because they were smarter and did not get trapped. But they did change the stone and got captured by the police, who were told that because they were listening to Alex Jones and all the fake news stuff and like Breitbart, and they were just like, oh, the gargoyles walked in there like with bombs and blew up this building that was under construction. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we won't question that. That must have happened.
Yeah.
Then all the gargoyles were labeled terrorists.
Well, and also the gargoyles are thought to be destroyed because when they open this box, they just see crumbles of stone. So they're assuming this bomb destroyed them and that John Castaway saved the day from these terrorists.
Please explain the very not at all convoluted way they were saved.
Okay. So Xanatos, now friend Xanatos, he saved them from destruction by preemptively turning this box into putting a rotating mechanism on the floor of this box so that when the gargoyles got trapped in it, and I think when the lid closed or something, it was triggered to rotate around so that the bomb would blow up in the empty chamber. But the empty chamber had pieces of, you know, stone in it to emulate the gargoyle stone form. Oh my God. It was so like elaborate. So he would have had to known exactly what was going to happen. And instead of warning the gargoyles or something, he's just like, here. But in a way, like, it made sense the way he explained it. But at the same time, it was so convoluted that it's like, come on, that's stretching it a little much.
Yeah. As you're watching the cartoon, you're kind of like, oh, okay. But then, like, after the cartoon, you're like, wait a second. Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Like, me trying to explain it right now is just like, I'm feeling like I'm confusing myself just trying to make sense of it. But his idea was to give the gargoyles the freedom to basically leave the city and do their own thing. Like, now they're thought to be dead. So it's like, now, go start a new life, go live. And that's definitely different from the old Xanatos. So I don't know what happened or when he changed, but.
Well, he just, like, being evil didn't work. So he tried being nice to see if that would get rid of the gargoyles.
It's like the change from Nickelodeon's Doug to Disney's Doug, where Roger Klotz used to be his bully and his enemy, and he turned into his friend afterwards. So it's like,
oh, that happened?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh. And then Roger Klotz became Macklemore. It's true.
So that was Xanatos' elaborate scheme to protect the gargoyles, except for Angela and Bronx, because they've been captured by the police. They've been taken in because they're gonna be put on trial for the other gargoyles blowing up this building. Miss Yale is the DA who's in charge of this whole thing, and she's very anti-gargoyle as well, just like most humans are at this point.
I would love to see them put Bronx on trial.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dog.
Right.
He's a gargoyle dog.
Yeah, like, what do you have to say for yourself? Silence means guilt. He's crazy. He's obviously insane.
I think he just said something anti-Semitic.
He said he hates Jews. He hates Jews.
But then, I forgot, was Angela and Bronx, they were on this train.
Mm-hmm. They were being transported.
Because they were being sent somewhere, and this DA was there, and Maza was there because she was put in charge of like protection for it. And then the quarrymen who are ready to smash some stone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And start shooting up the train and they try to infiltrate it.
Yeah, because the weird thing is, like, so their intention, I guess, was to kill all the gargoyles at once. And then when that didn't happen, so they're like, okay, let's set up this trial to put them or to make them be transported by train. And then instead of like having them go through with the trial, they're just like, we're just going to destroy this train so that we can kill the remaining gargoyles. So they had no intention of letting them go that far.
So then the other gargoyles show up knowing that something's going down and they're fighting the quarrymen. It's actually a pretty cool fight, honestly. Like, and it lasts a long time.
Well, I mean, it better be a cool fight since it's the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, there is just all kinds of stuff going on. Lots of shenanigans. The quarrymen blow up a bridge that the train is supposed to go over. And then the gargoyles have to be like clever and slow it down without the engine because the engine's been compromised.
I did kind of like what the other gargoyles did. I think it was Brooklyn, Lexington, and Broadway set up these rockets on the train, but put them in on reverse so that when they went off or when they fired them, and this was like a very last minute thing too, like they were about to fall off this already blown up train railing. So it propelled the train backwards so that they were able to stop it from crashing. So that was kind of a cool thing that they did. But it's like, man, it got so convoluted, all the stuff that was happening, that was going on.
But then the DA, who was like, I don't understand why you're helping us. Like, you're supposed to be bad. She's like, oh, we like you now. I'm dropping all charges. And people cheered for them. And they were seen as heroes from then on out.
Yeah. A new age has begun and we live again. So it was like a pleasant ending for the gargoyles. Let me also say real quick that the intro for season 3 was terrible.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, God. It was one of the worst I've ever seen.
They changed the intro, put all this CG, this gross CG and stuff in it. And they even changed up the music a little bit. It's like, come on.
It's that kind of like 3D-ish kind of CG that you would have seen in like an early 90s video game on a Macintosh.
Well, it was like Mutant League, like what they did also with their intro.
Yes, it was. To bring Mutant League back up. Yeah, it was just like that. And it was just as bad, if not worse,
than
what Mutant League did.
It's like the old intro was perfect. Why would they change that?
I gotta say, I did not hate season 3 based off this episode.
Really?
Like, it wasn't as good. But I like the idea of the quarrymen being this ancient society that was against the gargoyles and now in the present. I think that's kind of a cool idea. And the idea of them having hammers and going to smash the gargoyles when they're in stone form, just like what happened in the very first episode of the entire series. I'm like, that's kind of a cool, like, you know, full circle-ish kind of thing to me.
Yeah.
And some of it was convoluted and some of it was dumb. I don't understand the Xanatos thing. Maybe, you know, it'll make sense in more context. But I still enjoyed this episode for its flaws.
What surprised me was that this was the highest rated episode.
The highest rated episode on IMDb is Awakening, Part 1.
Oh.
The second highest rated episode on IMDb was The Mirror. So I'm like, okay, those two we're already doing. And then the next one was like a part 3 of something else. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to TV.com and see the highest rated. This was the highest rated episode on TV.com.
That is surprising to me. Like, I would have agreed with IMDb as far as like The Mirror episode being one of the highest rated because I really enjoyed that one. And I know there's some other really good episodes in there because I've seen them, unless I just have like a huge amount of nostalgia for them. But I remember other episodes being much better than this. I mean, there's all these other cool gargoyles like these. I know there's a creation from Xanatos. His name was like Coldstone or something, and he looked pretty awesome. He was like basically the reverse Goliath. He had like red eyes and stuff. And there was just so much cool stuff in there that I can't believe that this was the highest rated episode.
It's real weird because like after I watched it, I was like, this should not have been even on a highest episode list, but
yeah,
I'm still glad we got to see something from season 3 so that like we could get a taste for what that was about.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, and I was gonna say that And I don't think it was terrible. I'm being really harsh on it, but I don't think it was a bad, bad episode. It wasn't up to par with the other seasons, in my opinion, but it wasn't bad either. Like, if this had been a standalone thing and this was the only episode I had gotten to see of Gargoyles, I would have been like, okay, it seems like it's going to be a pretty decent show. But having seen the other episodes first, I was like, okay, well, they really went downhill. But yeah, it's not the worst episode.
I agree.
It's not Mutant League quality.
Nothing will ever be Mutant League.
The intro might be, but the show itself was not. Yeah. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we wake our inner kids from their 30-year slumber so that they can protect the very humans who betrayed them from various threats. And also, just so we can see what they thought of the show, Gargoyles.
OMG. This cartoon is so cool. We got all these awesome gargoyles and ancient battles and magic and big old fights all over the city. And I'm totally shipping Eliza and Goliath, like, forever. Also, is Angela single? She's my favorite girl goyle. Does someone know? Oh, well. Well, I gave this cartoon 5 bowls of random New York street name cereal out of 5.
In all seriousness, I still think this is one of the greatest cartoons ever made. Which is sort of surprising, seeing as it was Disney's speedy attempt to make a show comparable to Batman the Animated Series, and was initially pitched as a comedy show. To turn from that to the beautifully animated, wonderfully written, superbly voice-acted, amazingly dark drama that we ended up with is incredibly lucky. All the tie-ins to Shakespearean works and various Scottish folklore was just a cherry on top of an already delicious treat. Overall, I'm going to give Gargoyles 5 big bowls of gorgeous Gargoyle Girl cereal out of 5, and I definitely recommend you check it out. Also, please know that this is me rating the first 2 true seasons of Gargoyles. After watching just 1 episode of the Goliath Chronicles, I now wish they'd turned it to stone for 1,000 years. Or maybe 2,000. You know what? Let's just turn it to stone and crush it with hammers. Those Vikings had the right idea.
So you sympathize with the Vikings and with the Quarrymen, is what you're saying.
I do, but only if it gets Goliath Chronicles crushed.
Just kill it.
Yeah, kill it.
Then we won't have Angela, and I like Angela.
Well, you know, maybe she came in before that, but I'm pretty sure you're right about her being probably introduced in the season 3. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably like the kicker that's like, this is how we sell the show. We introduce the girl. You know, like they did for that really bad Ninja Turtles TV show.
Oh, with Venus
de
Milo.
The live action one where they introduced Venus de Milo. Yeah.
Yep.
That did a crossover with Power Rangers.
Which we watched.
And I did not know till we watched it. And it's hilarious.
It was as bad as it sounds like it would be, if not worse.
Bad in the best way possible.
In the best way. It was amazingly bad.
It was enjoyable to watch because of how bad it was. So speaking of Venus de Milo, do you have any final thoughts on Gargoyles?
I had a lot of nostalgia for this show because I do remember liking it as a kid, and I did still like it. I think it's so well written, and it's very mature for a Disney cartoon especially, so I definitely think it's worth checking out. Like I said, you can ignore season 3. You can watch it if you want to out of curiosity. Maybe some people will like it. And Angela is a good character. I think that she could have been added in without the weight of season 3 on her shoulders. But otherwise, you know, avoid that and watch the first 2 seasons. And I think that you'll get your fill without overdoing it. You've got the comics you can grab too. And maybe those even have Angela in them. I'm not sure. But I'm interested to check them out. And yeah, still one of my favorite cartoons, and I definitely dug it.
Yeah, having avoided this as much as I did as a kid, I am super surprised by how good this show is. I mean, the animation, the writing, the voice acting, all of it was top-notch, and even despite like season 3 probably not being the best, I'm still interested in watching the entirety of the show. So like, this is one that I will definitely watch from start to finish. And if not for the awesomeness of everything that I already listed, but at least for the dulcet tones of Keith David and Goliath's very romantic things that he says in Keith David's silky smooth voice.
And hearing it in Keith David's voice, I mean, just made it all the better. Like, I fell in love with him.
Yes, I'm in love with a gargoyle because of Keith David. Thanks, Keith David.
Thanks, Keith. Also, thank you, 10410, for suggesting this. I've been wanting to watch this for so long, but it's just, we're just lucky it came up.
10-4, 10-4-10. 10-4.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
What a Cartoon, also known as Cartoon Cartoon, suggested via Twitter by Daniel Martinex at ElectricMastro5.
Daniel Martinex.
Martinex.
Interesting.
He was one of those X-Men from the early 90s.
I was thinking it was his
name Martin, and then they were like Martin X.
I was thinking it was his AOL screen name, like XX Martin XX
Edgelord.
Edgelord. Yeah. Well, thank you for suggesting this. I'm actually curious, what are we going to watch from it? Because weren't there a lot of cartoons involved in that?
Yes. And don't worry, because I have a list of all three that we're watching for it. So I know, Joseph. I know.
Well, I hope Cow and Chicken is one of them, because I like that show.
You'll see.
Okay.
You'll be disappointed.
Oh. Well, you got my hopes up and then immediately crushed them. You're a quarryman of dreams.
Smash some dreams. Smash some dreams.
Oh.
And stone.
Yeah. Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm that half gorg. Oh, hang on. And I'm that. I can't say it. I'm ruining the joke. Welcome, Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.